on your mind?
Oh, that's Janet, good... we can't hear you.
Yeah, Janet's on mute.
We had a discussion earlier today, and I think one of the things we determined is that as a team, we need to be able to get together to work on some of these assignments. And, you know, we've been sort of getting the emails or thinking about following up on Friday, and then we start working on some of this stuff maybe over the weekend, and then next thing you know, it's Monday, and we haven't had a chance to, as a team, really come together and get some of these things, questions answered. So that's, I guess, one question would be, like, when do we get the email? I don't even remember when we got the last email about, hey, here's what your assignments are. And it sneaks up on us pretty quick, and we recognize that we need to get together as a team and really sort of do some brainstorming together. And everybody being virtual makes that even more challenging. So,
well, here's the good news is that this is week two and we're dealing with it, right? The bad news is I would have just had a team on that was week 12, and they were asking, does anybody have the workbook? And I was like, whoa, okay. So here's the thing. Let's take a step back and build some best practices if we can. Okay. I give you a series of best practices. I hope everybody got the PDF, that we sent out, which is the workbook. You should all print it and put it in a 3-ring binder and have it for every meeting. Okay.
We did that. I had the office, we have one girl who goes in the office, so I sent it to her. She printed it and mailed it to all of our homes. So we all have a hard copy of that.
Okay. If you turn to page 7, there's a getting prepared for personalized coaching program. It's sort of a, if you were my son or daughter and you were going to take this class, what's the best way to get an A in the class? I kind of give you that ahead of time, so that you do a terrific job. And I probably need to highlight it so that people don't just flip as this is not, you know, something that applies to me. Just so you don't, we're all great intentions, right? We all have great intentions. The question is, what are our actions versus our intentions? And so this is a great way to protect yourself from being in week 12 wondering where the workbook is. Okay. And the reason that came up is because in week 12, I asked them to report in based on roles and responsibilities as each team member, not just as one spokesperson. So every member of the team has to report in on their role and responsibility and how they did for the month in that particular role and the goals that they achieved or didn't achieve versus that goal. Now you can imagine what that experience was like for this team since they were not prepared at all. They didn't know what their roles were. They knew what their roles were, but they weren't quite sure what they were supposed to do. And guess whose problem that is? That's the leader's problem, you see? So then and this is a big producing team, right? I don't care how much you produce, right? You're doing like 5 or 6 million, 7 million. I don't care. I treat them like they're $500,000 producers or something. Okay. And so I kind of came down on them pretty hard at that point because here they are expecting to get a lot out of the course and putting nothing into it. So you only get what you put in. So good question and good time to start so we don't have that experience. And these guys are great guys. So, you know, they're going to do fine. But you know, they're just human beings. We're all fallible human beings, and we all will do the least amount that we can to get the most return. But in supernova, it's sort of the opposite. Supernova makes you do the, how do I phrase it? Supernova is simple, but not easy. Supernova will make you, help you be your best self, but you also, it also forces you to be, to work. There's no way around it. You can't just screw off and do supernova. I mean, it forces you to be a very efficient and very effective financial advisor. And that doesn't mean we don't screw off, but it's a lot easier to just call randomly when we feel like it, who we feel like calling that day versus calling all of our clients every month. That's hard. And having an agenda, that's hard. And then sending them an executive summary, that's hard, right? So we're doing things that are hard, but they're great for the client. So we're very client-centered. So just think about the Mercedes dealership. My son-in-law drives a BMW, and he said he called the dealership, and they never call him back, right? What's our mantra? 1 hour response, 24-hour resolution, any and all problem, right? So there you go, BMW, right? Competitor of Mercedes, and they don't call him back. And he can flip. It's a lease. So he can flip next year to a Mercedes. He said, yeah, but the dealership's owned by the same guy. This is Nashville. So all elections are local. In this case, all businesses are local, right? Even though it's a brand. If it's not good local management, it stinks. So we're a Mercedes dealer that we're going to deliver a great client experience, and we're doing it, do it for every single person, no exceptions. Your brand isn't determined by your best client, but by your worst client. The lowest client that doesn't get a phone call returned is your brand. Always remember that. That's your brand. Don't tell me how your best client loves you. I want to talk to your worst client, your smallest client. That's why we don't have any small clients. We reassign them. So they're not ruining your brand. All right, so back to the page 7. Be sure that all members of the team have been informed about the new program and are willing to participate in all the calls. All members of the team need to work together to get the most out of the program. In other words, if someone is not going to participate, it makes sense to get that resolved ahead of time. Make the appointment time for the call sacred. Supernova can double your income if done right. Put the call time on everyone's schedule and don't allow for interruptions. Watch the assigned video to be sure you're familiar with the material that will be discussed, and have questions written out ahead of time. So you sound intelligent and you prove that you've written, listened to the video, watch the video. That's, I just editorialized a little. You can tell I'm a little worked up today, right? Meet with your team 15 minutes before each call. So you should be on the Zoom call 15 minutes early, or on your own Zoom call 15 minutes early. All right? So you then go through it, and everybody knows what's going on. You should be on the call 15 minutes after, and assign roles and responsibilities. If that's all you do all week, that would probably be enough. Spend 15 minutes talking about what did we cover, who's going to do what, and how are we going to be prepared. And then 15 minutes, get on the call. You got 15 minutes to fix whatever somebody didn't do before you get on the call with me. And then you get on the call with me and you're ready. Okay. Build a supernova folder for each member of the team, which you've done. Put into the folder notes from the previous calls, homework assignments, and questions that might come up during the week. This will be a great place to put your supernova phone numbers profile on your coach, and his or her phone number. So everybody should have a supernova file, a folder like this. So you have your workbook here, right? Here's your workbook, supernova workbook. Here's your folder. Just have a folder just like you have a folder for a client, and make that your supernova folder. And you take notes in there, and you've got information about our team, my phone number, and other things, just in case something happens and you got to get in touch with me. I'll give you my number, 317-418-8624. Call me direct if you can't get on a line or you're something gets screwed up or you need something. 317-418-8624. And it's RDNAP, KNAP, at supernovaconsulting.com. Participate in all the calls. Be sure to ask questions that come up during the week and are written down in your supernova folder. This is what your clients should be doing. They should have a folder, and they should write down their questions for your monthly call in their folder. So you got to train them. Spend 15 minutes together as a team after the call. I talked about that. Assign responsibilities for each team member so that one person isn't stuck doing all the work. Hire an intern. We haven't talked about this. I don't know how practical it is during COVID, but I know the interns need you and you need them. And when it's humanly possible, have an intern to help build folders. And my attitude is you should always have an intern. Everybody tells me, oh, it's impossible to hire interns with COVID compliance and all this stuff. If you get with your local university and you build a program for bringing in interns, it's good for the university. It's good for you. It's good for everybody. It's part of your role and responsibility in the community to develop people. And I think I've always had an intern in the summers. I don't this year because I just moved to Nashville, but every year I had an intern and I've coached them and helped them. And I always had interns when I was managing and a district director, and they were fabulous and they've all gone on to do wonderful things. So it's just another way of helping the community. Yeah.
This is Gary. Sir, I have a very poor internet connection and it'll come and go, so I'll do my best to be succinct. Are you aware of any teams that are using interns remotely?
No, but I think it's a good idea. I don't think there's any reason you couldn't. In fact, it's probably more practical now than even when they're in the office, right? Because they can do work. I don't know if you guys are, I don't think it's a crazy idea. They can help with particularly your technology. You know, they can be your local technology expert, making sure everybody's got their LinkedIn pages correct and their website is up and running properly. And they can work with your compliance department, your technology people to make sure that happens. So I think that makes sense. Finally, commit to getting an A in the supernova class. In fact, commit to being the best advisory team that's ever taken it. Why not? If you're going to do it well. By trying to be the very best, you are guaranteed to get the most out of the program. Your success will motivate others to follow you across the invisible bridge to positive change. So I should probably read that every time, but sometimes we get so busy introducing ourselves that we don't do that. So I just I just thought, so Gary, were you here at the beginning? Did you hear that? What brought that on, that conversation?
I missed the first 2 minutes. I think Andrea might have asked the question, and I think that's where that got to, but that was just me trying to figure out what's going on. I missed the first 2 minutes.
The question really became, how do we get ourselves together so that we're prepared for each of the calls? Because my answer was, you know, whether it's on this Zoom call or on, sometimes I'm back to back, so you need to get off my Zoom call and get on your own. But the 15 minutes prior to the call, everybody should be on. That way you're not running around at the last second trying to get on. And just go over the homework, make sure everybody's ready, have a few good questions for me. And then after the call, assign roles and responsibility, who's going to do what based on the roles. And so everybody knows that they are actually supposed to do something. Okay.
Yep, that's good. You know, and they probably mentioned that we did that this morning. We had we have a call at 8:30 each morning with the team, and we spent from 8:45 until 9 going over this call. So we've been doing that. One of my, comments to them was, I'm having a difficult time with all of us being in different locations, getting together constructively.
Yeah.
And so we're going to have to figure out a way to do that, because it's, when you're kind of working, I call it independently, mm-hmm. it's not as effective as when people can kind of check in and do everything as a team, but we're working on that. So that was a concern of mine.
Yeah, it's a real concern, and you know, everybody, I mean, everything from poor internet connections to, you know, everything else, right? Just people, I've got to take the kids to school because, or I can't take the kids to school, they're here, you know, they're not, I'm homeschooling, I'm this. It's life, you know, life showed up, and it's great, and it's terrible, you know, it's very distracting, you know, from our normal routines, so. Anyway, okay, to the week assignments. Anything on your mind, Gary, before we get going here?
No, other than we've had good conversations. So there's nothing on my mind with the exception of what I mentioned. And I told the team this morning that I feel like this segmentation conversation is so critical that everything else flows from that. And so that's why I said we have to devote more hours to this. Can't be independent. To get this right, everything else will flow.
Yeah.
And we have yet to do that. I mean, it's been independent. That's what I meant. So.
Yeah. And then the segmentation is much more emotional than you think. I mean, once I have downsized, right? I'm of that age, right? You downsize. And I never thought downsizing would be traumatic. It is. It's just as traumatic as reducing your book size. But just like that, once it's in a box and in storage or gone, I never think about any of that, right? You don't think about the clients you reassign. They're just gone. It's all the emotion up to then that's the hardest part. And I always tell people there's never been a case where someone did supernova with me, segmented their practice, and then came back to me and said, you know, I'm really mad because I gave away those clients and I'm doing less business now. Okay? It's never in thousands and thousands and thousands of experiences. It's never happened. They always do more business. So it's just like, you know, me cleaning out my closets and moving from the family house to a condominium, which I'm here in Nashville today. My only problem is I didn't do a good enough job segmenting. My wife did. I'm stuck, still working on boxes. So if I sound a little bit unnerved, it's partially because I'm sitting in my office and there's too much garbage around. I can't get rid of it. So you know somebody in Nashville that needs stuff, I got tons of it. Anyway, So who are we? One of the things that I early on discovered in the segmenting process is focus on who you want to keep, not on who you're going to give away. That's the key to segmenting. So say, okay, I'm going to have to jump in a lifeboat. Who am I taking with me? All right. So if you had to take 70 clients with you, who would you take with you? And make that list and make sure that there's nobody in there that's a jerk or nobody in there that, you know, you don't want. And then look at the next 30 and say, is there anybody there that I really want to have? Because I really could have 100, but I don't really want to have 100. So if I had to have, you know, if I want to keep 100, great. But I want to think about them, you know, the next 30 as being people that I can reassign at some point when I bring in more new business, bigger clients. And then look at the rest and say, okay, where can they go? Either give them to a teammate or give them to another FA in the office or another team. And eventually we do this bare, you know, this, we call it stair step to the stars, where you build other people that you know of that are doing Supernova and have them, have a different minimum, a lower minimum that you can reassign, and then they reassign to somebody else and they reassign to somebody else. So that everybody can continue to grow and you're all mutually beneficial to each other. So it's an ideal situation. There's all kinds of reasons that may not exist, but ideally that's what you would like to have. And I don't really believe in the splitting stuff because you're still responsible for them compliance wise. If your name's on the account and yet you don't have control and you never know what somebody else is doing with those accounts, and you're going to end up in a lawsuit and end up going to court and wasting a lot of time or arbitration. So that's just my opinion. So min and max was the assignment, determining your minimum and your maximum. So you decide who you're going to, you know, if I bring in new clients, what do they look like? Who are they? And what's my minimum in terms of absolute minimum and target minimum? So I will shut up now and listen.
I have just a quick question before we try to answer more.
Yeah, Tim.
Have you seen in your years of doing this, like the average number of clients that people that start working with you have to offload or reassign?
That's a good question, Tim. I would say, you know, in the old days, it was 500.
Wow.
Yeah, the average FA had 640 clients when I started this. Now they have 180, 150. So they got to get rid of 50. It's not the horrendous job it used to be. So we still give it 4 months to do this segmentation piece, but we also get you started right away on organization, sending you the scheduler, having you, you know, organize your practice, start your 12-4-2s right away, with your clients, you know, use the scheduler, set up your schedule and begin working. Cause what happens is 12 weeks goes like a snap of the fingers and all of a sudden you're like in week 12 and go, wow, how did that go so fast?
And what about your experience in terms of working with teams? Like in our situation where our team has grown recently, like, so there's, you know, these two new guys that are in the picture. Is that cause a different dynamic versus you coming into a team that's been working together for years and everybody sort of already has their core clients. I mean, our situation is set up so that at least on the wealth management side of our business, you know, 90%+ of our clients are Gary's clients. And I just wondered if that creates a different dynamic in terms of what we should be thinking about or doing.
Not really. I just the team I had before you guys has got one member of the team that's retiring in 3 months. And his question is, when should I start telling my clients? I'm like, about 6 months ago.
That's 2 years ago.
Yeah. I mean, he's got, I'm being serious. He was so dead serious. It was crazy. And I was like, I understand your reluctance to tell your clients, but, and he said, well, you've been, you know, I've been introducing him to other guys, but I just haven't told anybody. I said, the reality is if people feel safe, they're fine. If they feel as though they're being taken care of. Look, human beings are survivalists, right? What's going to happen to me is what their question is. Yes, you know, lovely, I'm glad you're retiring. I hope you do well. What's going to happen to me? They hardly can get the other words out of their mouth before they say, what's happening to me, right? Because that's what they care about. That's why they're there. They want to have someone take care of them. So you make sure that you minimize your issue and maximize their issue. So not only now are they going to get a new FA, but they're going to get 1242, a financial plan, and rapid response to their problems. They're going to be ecstatic. They're going to be very happy, right? So to your question, Tim, my suggestion is the same thing. Gary is clearly doing this, because he wants a team. And he, you know, there's a lot of reasons to have a team, but one of them is so you don't have to manage all those clients. So, you know, the sooner we get to that, the better. And the skinnier his book, the better, the more he can bring in new business and have a life. And as long as everybody's trained and up and running, and they're competent, and with 1242 and rapid response and a plan every month of what you're going to do and what you're going to say and who you're going to call, this becomes very efficient and very effective. So there's not a better time to do this than now. Because you will have an agenda for every client.
Right.
So the more you do that, the sooner, the better. It's just making sure everybody is competent in what they can do. So if somebody still needs training, then you don't practice on real live people, except when we do, unless you're in the middle of a pandemic, and then you'll,
right.
Then he'll try out a few. You might try things on real live people until you make sure they don't die, and then you can give it to everybody else. I think that, yeah.
I need to continue. I'm going to have to stop out here myself. I'm taking my youngest son to school today, Rob. He is going down to University of Missouri. I'm in a place halfway between. They just
awesome.
Pulled up to pick me up. And my team knows we talked about this. So if anybody has any other questions or, you know, we talked about this morning, just fire away at Rob, and Rob will have a lot of good work and look next week. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thanks.
See you guys.
Bye.
Bye.
Okay. So, so what's your real question?
I think this morning, one of the things we talked about is, like Gary said, we're all sitting in our own homes and we need to find out a way to come together, whether it's through a Zoom call of our own or we meet somewhere to do the segmenting. Cause it, you know, Gary has one way, Tim has one way, Andy has one way. I'm the CSA and I'm just over, you know, whatever. Janet has one way. We just need to all get together and discuss the clients and segment them that way. And I think it's just a challenge for us to figure out how, what are other teams doing? Are they physically meeting somewhere to do that? Are they trying to do it through Zoom calls?
Well, I think you guys can all look at the technology and see what the clients, can't you put it all up in the, everybody put it up on the same screen and look at the clients and know who they are?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's what I'd do. I'd just do a Zoom, you know, do a Zoom call or do a,
we just see, get a list. I think we've got a pretty good idea how to do this. I mean, we know what we need to do and we just need to get a list of the clients, the ones that were mine, Andy's, Gary's, Tim's. We just need to figure out what we're going to do with them. And we can do it one day next week and just go through it and do it. And we all know what we need to do.
Yeah. And I would say, you know, not one day. I would say, this is what we're going to do next week. Okay. So you get on for, you get on it every day at 4 o'clock for an hour and just go through it.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, and just do it, you know, in 4 days, you're going to get it done. But I don't think you can do it in one day.
No, no, not one day. But I think we've all been thinking about it. We all know what needs to be done. I think over this past week, we know what we need to do. I think it's kind of a hard thing to do, you know, to cut off the bottom legs of your book.
It is.
So it's not, I can only speak for myself. It's not that I'm dragging my feet doing it. I know what needs to be done and you just got to do it.
It's a divorce.
Yeah. You know? I mean, this is not an easy thing. And
no,
it's 30 years and I have a lot of accounts that are on this book and there are a lot of buffer accounts and there's a lot of other accounts. So, it's not like we've been blowing this off. It's just, I've been thinking about it. And right. Gary's been thinking about it. And you're doing it. You're just, it may not be on paper yet, but it's a process.
Right. And so you gotta have some time to process it. Mm-hmm. you do a grieving process, like a divorce is a grieving process. And even though it's, you know, it's not, you think, well, that's kind of silly. No, this is your practice. This is your life.
And that's, you know, cause I'm in the retiring, program and it's a process and I have to do it. These guys get to do it.
Right.
But it's hard. It's, we're on the, we know what we need to do, Ron, and we're trying to do it. But I think what everybody's just saying is Gary and I especially just need to, you know, focus and do it. But, and we will. We'll get it there.
Yeah. Don't minimize the retirement thing as an emotional experience. I mean, you don't understand, you know, we, as an FA, I handled so many different people's retirement and I just did it, right? And I was we're all focused on the rollover and we're focused on this and that. And in reality, until you go through it yourself, you don't know how emotional it is.
Right. I mean, you've taken care of them for 30 years and now you're being asked to, once you took care of 30 years, you're being asked to totally get rid of them. And that's hard. I mean, they make you $750,000. But they never call. They don't ask anything. So what do you do with that client? You know, that's what I'm working on. So.
Yeah. And you can be, it's like anybody can tell you to get divorced. He's a terrible person. Get rid of him. He's a jerk. But emotionally, it's really impossible almost to do because you got, you know, all the same reasons. Your logical brain says, this is logical, I can do it. Your emotional brain goes, oh crap, this is horrible, I can't do this. And that's the same thing with retirement. You're like, oh, this will be fun. And then you're like, yeah, but I, emotionally, you're like, this is my life. I'm giving this up. They're going to miss me. And then you retire and no one ever calls.
I don't care. I mean, I'm looking forward. I'm fine with the transition. Right. I'm not real fine with cutting off a lot of people at the same time that I'm retiring. So this, you know, doing the supernova thing, we're doing it at that time. So that's kind of what our team is struggling with too.
But you'll do a better job, Janet, with you there than without you. Okay.
Oh, I know.
And you can have those conversations with them and they will be fine with it. Without you, it would just happen. And they'd still probably be okay. It just, this way, you can do a better job of making that transition for them easier. So it's nice you're doing it. A lot of people don't. A lot of people just leave.
That's kind of what we're doing as a team. So.
Yeah. So that's nice. I mean, it's a nice thing you're doing and it's the right thing you're doing. So the timing is good, but listen, I completely understand the emotions and there's nothing wrong with that. It's normal. It's very normal.
Hey, Rob, quick question. Andy here wanted to touch base and see and just figure out, do you have all the background on each of us as far as where we, like, pretty high level, but where we come from, like my background with UBS for the past few years and why I joined the team, Tim's background, do you have any of that yet or not?
I just took what I could off of the website and tried to, you know, be it reasonably educated, but if you want to share with me, that's probably a good thing to do.
Well, I'll just go first. I'll take one quick minute. So I came in as a wealth planning analyst and worked with probably maybe 70% of the financial advisors in Kansas City for UBS working on financial plans for their clients, and got to the point where I, you know, was doing some client meetings and prospect meetings, client meetings on my own for some of those advisors. So I got pretty comfortable with that role. And the point of the role was to join a team. So Gary and I had known each other through lacrosse. I was a coach against his son. And we got to know each other about 4 or 5 years ago and stayed in touch. And when my program got out, or as it was getting out, I was talking to several teams and made the decision to go with Gary and this team. So I think as we are navigating each of our roles and how we're interacting with each other and our clients as a team, and then our own practices, I think we're also trying to navigate that. I think Gary's trying to navigate that. And then Tim can go into his background a little bit, but Tim's background's very different than mine, as is Janet and Gary's. But, I wrote down my clients. That didn't take long, but I wrote down my clients, you know, the minimum amount that I would like to, the minimum amount I'll accept, the desired amount, the centers of influence we're currently working on as a team, the niches that I've got going that were kind of unintentional, but they're just kind of evolving in that way. So that's a little bit about my background. How I work within the team, I think we're all still kind of navigating that, but I'm in growth mode. We're in growth mode. But we're not just working in silos.
Okay. Terrific. Tim?
So, I've been with the team just over a year. And so my background was that years ago, I was a fixed income bond salesman. And then more recently, over the last 12 years, I've worked in the wealth management group and managed a wealth management group here in the Kansas City marketplace. So learned more about the wealth management side, working with individuals. So the opportunity for me here on this team is to, I have the right background to kind of fill the niche that Janet and that part of our business that she runs, our corporate cash management, which is more of an institutional bond oriented, mm-hmm. transaction oriented business. So I work closely with Janet and I'm kind of learning those clients and leveraging my experiences there. And then I'm trying to bring over my old clients from, my previous life and helping on the wealth management side where I can. I managed an equity strategy in my old predecessor. And so I'm trying to do some things for us here within the team on the investment side as well to create model accounts. Not necessarily, as we've discussed before, where I'm picking the stocks, but I'm picking the blend of investments that we would put together to build our portfolios for clients.
Great. And Janet, your background was institutional?
So for 30 years, I've been corporate cash management. A lot of, over the years, it's evolved. I go back to working for Kidder Peabody. I've done, states, large corporations, private, public, all across the board, every product, changes every year. But along the way, I've had a lot of, retail clients that have, that I've only really in the past, they came to me and right. I used to always give them away. And then, so I started taking them and have developed them with Gary, which I've been working with for about 3 years. And, so I have a retail book and, that goes along with this institutional, but yes, the bulk of my business has been institutional fixed income, and it continues to be a very, profitable, good business. So that's why we brought on Tim, and I am going to transition my retail clients. But like Tim said, the bulk of our book that Gary wants to get in the supernova are his clients, and that. And also his dad's who just retired. So we've got a mix of a lot of different kind of clients. Right. And we've got a new team and it's just getting them all on the same, plane and get us going in the right direction, which it's gone a lot smoother than I thought it would and a lot quicker. So I think we're on the path and I'll be working probably at, two more years in some form. I have a wind down and, I've done 1 year and I've got two more to go. So it's good. We'll get there.
Yeah. I managed the institutional, I ran Indianapolis for years and years, 25 years. And then I ran the Midwest district and I had Kansas City and I had a bunch of different mm-hmm. markets. So I had 13 states in the Midwest, but so in running the institutional business in Indianapolis and then around the Midwest, I understand the business. So, I get it. It's been a hard business as they try and consolidate it and so forth. And, it's amazing that it still exists in some form anywhere other than, out of Chicago or New York or something.
And that's right. But it's Kansas City's got a interesting market and, I work with a lot of municipalities and states and, I've worked with them for 30 years and they just keep evolving.
Right.
it's not something you can just leave on the table and walk away from.
Right. No, as long as the firm's paying you. That was the part that was, you know, everybody still wanted to do business, but the firm wouldn't pay you anymore for it.
Yeah. So you learn a new product. You learn this product. That one's done, so you move on to this one, and then it's another one. And then
I'm just impressed you've done it. Congratulations.
It's been a good role. It's good.
Yeah, when I took over Sears Tower, we transitioned a whole bunch of guys from institutional to retail, so I'm familiar with that too. But everybody brings their own expertise to the table and their own connections and their own networking, and it was great. So anyway, I get it. And I hopefully I can be of help in both sides of the business. But that was probably the one, the thing that I was the most shocked with is how when I would go on an institutional call and I would meet with an institutional client and I'd talk to them, I'd say, so what number are we? And they'd say, oh, you're number three. And I'd say, so how can we become number one? Well, you just have to show me more product, you know, or you'd have to do this. It was pretty simple business, you know, and I just had to get in earlier and show me more product. I'd go, okay, that's our business plan. You know? So, it was fun.
It is, yeah.
So here's the challenge you all have is to have one minimum for the team, okay? I can tell, you know, there's people at completely different stages and they see themselves as building their practice inside this team. What I'd like you to do is think of yourself as a team building a practice together. And that'll be hard because you are all in different places. So, Janet, your institutional business with Tim is going to be kind of over here. You got to kind of take that and put that aside. All right. You got a minimum there. You got a kind of a model for that. In fact, you probably should do that. Build a minimum, build a model for that and say, you know, Tim, it doesn't make us any sense to bring in clients other than these kind of clients. If they'll do this and this, then we will do business with them. Okay? And that you need to get clear, and I would say that would be your assignment, one of your assignments this week, is to write that out. Who it is that we, what's our ideal client, and what's our minimum that we'll accept. All right, so it's like the 401k business. Starting startup 401ks is a death trap. Okay? It's a terrible business, and I don't recommend it. So the question is, you know, what is your institutional business minimum? Size of the client, quality client. You know, we have 11 different screens for retail clients, but you know, what's your profitability screen for institutional clients? And then, Janet, you've got your private clients. So what's your minimum for private clients? And you and Gary really need to create that minimum for the team. Okay, that's our team minimum. It's a million with a target of 2.5 million. Our absolute minimum is a million and our target minimum is 3 million. Okay? And then what do we do with these? You know, what about these other guys, right? What are we going to do with Andy? That you've got to resolve. Whether Andy's trained to do financial planning for high net worth clients. So wouldn't it make sense that he has the same minimums? Do you really want him wasting his time on $250,000 accounts? No. So having a team minimum is one thing. Is there an occasional exception for Andy? Maybe. You know, I work with one team in Indianapolis and they've got a young guy and he's their he's a go-getter. Okay. So he's bringing in, You know, I think their minimum for the team is, you know, 4 million or 5 million or something. But he occasionally will bring in a nice client for 700,000, and that's okay, because he's only got, you know, 50 clients at this point, I think. So can he help them in other ways? They only have, let's say, 60 clients each. So they're not overwhelmed and don't have a bunch of clients to give to him. But if you've got a situation where somebody's got, you know, 300 clients or 200 clients and they got to give away 100, then you don't want to, you know, have Andy wasting time on small clients, right? You want him taking the other clients and then, but you don't want Andy to have 300 clients either. You want him to have 60 or 70 at the most. So he has time to prospect and work on planning and help the team. So there's no dumping ground here. You don't want a dumping ground. You don't want to be a private, you know, client services department. So Tim and Andy need to, you know, just keep the number down so that they can work on growing the business with the kind of clients that you want. So that's all I tell you in terms of it, questions on that. Does that make sense to you all, or is that crazy?
Makes
no,
totally
it makes sense. It makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. The number one thing I always said, if you want to put another company out of business, give them all your small accounts. Mm-hmm. You know, if you got a real competitor in your market, give them all your small accounts. It'll take care of them forever. They'll be buried. And then you go get the big ones. So, all right. So that's, along with that, creating your ideal day, week, and month. All right. This is something you're not used to doing. Now, with institutional business, you do all your business in the morning. So that I understand. The rest, you know, you can kind of pick your day, your times for when you want to call clients, do your 12-4-2s, and when you want to prospect, when you want to do research, when you want to do this or do that. So you have to kind of create your day, because once you assign clients to a time, you don't want to be jacking them around and moving them all the time. You want them to have their, people like routine. So once they're in their routine, they know that Monday at 4 o'clock, you know, the first Monday of the month at 4 o'clock, I'm going to have a call with my advisor. I got an agenda. I'm going to get a call. I got to prepare by looking at the agenda, making sure I have any questions as a client, and then they're prepared to present to me anything that I was interested in and questions on, and any changes that they think is appropriate for that month. So that's, you know, that's good by me. It's good by them. And we've done it that way for years now. So think of, remember, this is all client-centered. Everything we're doing is making life better for the client. So as much as you don't like change, they hate it, okay? So when they say, well, no, I like what we're doing now, which is just fine, I don't need 12-4-2, the reason is they don't like change. It isn't because they love what you're doing now. It's because this sounds different. I don't understand it. I don't know what I'm going to get out of it. I'm busy. I don't want to waste my time. So you have got to say, look, this is what we're going to do. This is training. This is education. This is going to be good. You know, this is going to be good for you. Next to your faith and your family, your money is what supports all this. We need to make sure that we take good care of this. A monthly call in these crazy markets is not too much. Okay. A lot can change in a month. Doesn't mean we're going to make changes. And this is not designed to be a sales call. These are calls about your life, your financial plan, and making sure that we implement the plan as best for you? And they're like, okay, I get it. And then if they still don't want, you know, they still push back, say, look, let's do this for 6 months. And if you're uncomfortable with that after that, then we can go to something less. And they'll be like, okay. But you don't want to give up on the first pushback. Okay. Most of them will love the idea of talking to you more because they want your time and they respect your time. But some of them will be, they just don't want change. You know, they're just like, I'm good. I'm good. So anytime you get a pushback, think of it as a red light, or not a red light, just think of it as a yellow light. The client has a problem. Okay. And therefore what you want to do is think, okay, is this client, you know, the yellow light goes to green once you've done like 3 supernova calls or 2, or even after the first one and they realize that it's just really a conversation. It's not a sales call. It's not something that's going to scare them. And the ones that push back the most, they take like the first hour with you. You know, they're like, talk your head off. And you're like, what happened? I thought you didn't want these calls and now you're talking the whole time. It's because you're listening. That's why. Now, one of the tricky things is that this gets to go kind of quickly. All right. Supernova. So our assignment was to have our min-max done and your ideal day done. So if we don't have that done, then we're a week behind. Okay. So get that done. And now we work. Now we go on to week 2. All right. So week 2 is creating your ideal day, and there's a lot to it. Building your set, identifying your center of influence, and going through your top 20 clients and telling me what niches you have and what centers of influence you have. And it sounds like Andy's done that already. Week 3 is a big week. Which is the following week, and that's where we do roles and responsibilities. Okay, so even though, Janet, you are going to take a lesser role, you'll still have an important role on the team, and you can read ahead about what those things are going to be if you have time and have an inclination. Let's go back to Andy and talk about your centers of influence and your niches. Is it 3 o'clock?
It is. On it your is. Time.
I think I got to get out of here. I think I got another one. Let me double check.
Or I can, we can email, you know, yeah, we can email you what we got.
Yeah, I
got
to get out of here. Sorry, guys.
Okay.
All right. Okay. Yeah. So just do that for the next week. Center of influence. Go through your top 20 clients or 30 clients and say, what do they have in common? What are my niches? And what centers of influence do I have? And then what we're doing that for is to say, okay, now how can we develop them? How can we build them into something, that's going to help you grow? All right.
Perfect.
Thanks.
Thanks, Bob.
Okay.
Thank
bye-bye,
you.
Guys.
Thanks.
Bye-bye.
Bye.